Well, good day and welcome to a special edition of The Hot Breakfast. We're going to take a really close, quick look at the Willie Rioli situation. I'm Seb Costello, the newsreader for The Hot Breakfast. With me is the chief football reporter for The Hot Breakfast, Tom Brown. And Brownie, we typically would be talking about the West Coast Eagles' chances against the Cats in a huge semi-final. Instead, we're talking about one Eagle in particular, Willie Rioli. How much of a shockwave has this sent through the AFL final series?
Seb, the context before tonight's big final was very much the Cats' recent finals record, 3-13 under Chris Scott. Of course, the focus has now changed. Andrew Dillon, the general counsel of the AFL, called a press conference, a shock press conference at 4:30 yesterday, citing an integrity matter. It seems to emerge that Willie Rioli, one of West Coast's fastest players and most prolific ball users, he's silky smooth with the ball, has been suspended indefinitely by the AFL for a urine sample irregularity in a test on August 20. All sorts of questions this morning.
We're going to take you through how that's possible, how ASADA actually deal with a situation like this. But first, you mentioned Andrew Dillon. Let's take a listen to him. It was a short press conference at AFL House, only about 3 or 4 minutes, because there wasn't a whole lot he could say. He did talk to the future of Willie Rioli.
The provisional suspension is effective immediately. Rioli will not be eligible to compete in AFL competitions or any WADA compliance sport, including the waffle, while provisionally suspended. He will be able to train prior to final determination of the asserted code violation.
Now let's walk through what's happened. On August 20, Willie Rioli has been called to do a test by a doping control officer from ASADA. That's a Tuesday. And perhaps what people don't realise, Brownie, is that in that case, it's what's called an out-of-competition test by ASADA. They are not testing for illicit drugs in that case. It's solely a testing menu of performance enhancers.
Yes, ASADA on a Tuesday, for example, at the club or Rioli's home. In fact, they can contact Rioli wherever he is. He's duty bound to inform ASADA of his whereabouts. Would be testing for performance enhancing drugs. The in competition illicit issue is during competition, which would be on a match day. So it's not analogous to other situations like that.
Absolutely. So what's happened next is we understand that the doping control officers have witnessed what they think is a tampering. Now, a lot of people are probably saying, if they saw tampering, why didn't they stop him and start again? And this is where it becomes very interesting. That's not the job of a doping control officer. Hypothetically, if an ASADA officer walked in with an AFL player and witnessed that player blatantly cheating, that is pouring a yellow cup from a jug into his testing, a can of Coke, It's not their job to stop them right there. It's their job just to observe and report back.
What's interesting is that if those officers did observe Rioli breaching the rules, as you said, their job is to collect the samples. They're not lawyers. They don't prosecute these cases. They've got to form a body of evidence and give that back to their bosses at ASADA and prosecute that. Now, this is where ASADA would have been under significant pressure to expedite this case and put it at the top of their pile ahead of finals, because there's optics around and real optics around Rioli playing in the finals and taking part in the finals. But you've got to remember with all this, there's a huge procedural element. So I think ASADA's been very impressive in bringing this to the attention of the AFL so quickly in 2.5 or 3 weeks, because by the time ASADA send Rioli's people a letter and they send a letter back and you form all the evidence and swear all the affidavits and so forth about what they might have witnessed, that can take months.
It can. And so what's happened is we believe that the tester has told headquarters in Canberra at ASADA that they've seen something irregular. ASADA have then begun an investigation, which will largely be based around testing whatever this substitute was that wasn't Willie's urine. Presumably the test would prove pretty obviously it wasn't Willie's urine. But as Brownie mentioned, the reason they are taking this so seriously and working as quickly as they are is because this is a player in the middle of a final series. And this morning on The Hot Breakfast, Richard Ings talked to what would have gone on between the test being taken and the tampering being allegedly witnessed.
Well, a provisional suspension is a very, very serious thing. You're pulling an athlete out of a major competition. So ASADA will want to ensure it's got all its evidence together. It's done a quick but thorough investigation before it levies a serious allegation of substitution against an athlete. This one took two and a bit weeks to work through. That's incredibly fast and very impressive by ASADA.
And that's a key point, because a lot of people are saying, well, if he was seen tampering on August 20, why was he allowed to play the Tigers and the Bombers? There's no secret deals here. There's no conspiracy theory. It's just a case of Asada would want to be right before they make that allegation, and they appear to be confident they are. The AFL would too. And Brownie, as you say, it avoids a potential disaster for the AFL by pulling him out now. Because imagine a situation where, you know, a player like Willy Rioli was part of a premiership side in a few weeks, and then it came out that he'd apparently tampered with a test in August.
Well, that would be a potential embarrassment for Asada. But you've got to remember, Asada, as you've touched on, Seb, are constrained by procedural aspects to this, the legal aspects, all the various procedures under the Asada Acts and guidelines which govern these types of things. And also the fact that, of course, you don't want Rioli under this cloud participating in the AFL finals. That's why they contacted Andrew Dillon from the AFL, their general counsel, so quickly. The other interesting question for mine this morning, Seb, you've covered these questions really comprehensively on the Hot Breakfast and already in this podcast, is whether if Rioli's subsequent actual urine sample is clear, what happens? The answer to that, and I've spoken to key AFL people on this morning, or contacts I should say, is that that's irrelevant. The fact that he submitted this incorrect urine sample or non-urine sample by in itself is the offence. So even if he tested 100% clean to illicit drugs today, and indeed performance-enhancing drugs, he'd be still in trouble for tampering, allegedly, with his sample.
That's really interesting, because you would have thought that's at least an argument for somewhat of a reduction of a 4-year sentence. If you were able to say, look, the player panicked, in the end, clearly he's not cheating because his actual sample is negative. Can't you give us a little bit off the 4 years? I would have thought that it's almost common sense that you would, but you're saying this is such a big deal that there would be no let off for a player like Willy Rioli. And what you're saying is backed up by Richard Ings, who said that this, you know, tampering with a sample is looked at the same way, basically, as some of the worst cases of drug cheating. We'll have a listen to Richard.
It's incredibly serious. It's as serious as an athlete testing positive for a serious performance-enhancing drug. This is a government process of collecting urine samples. It's evidence, and any attempt to tamper with that evidence during the process is viewed as an egregious violation of anti-doping rules.
So there you go, Richard Ings there, Brownie. Well, look, in your view, is it just pretty likely now that it'll be another 4 years before we see Willy Rioli?
From my experience covering these doping cases over a reasonably long period of time now, 10 years or so, Seb, like you, a similar time frame, is that sometimes they take into account mitigating circumstances. So if Rioli has panicked, for example, if he was concerned he might have had an illicit drug, remembering Asada wasn't there for illicit drugs, they were there for performance-enhancing drugs, if he can perhaps point to an issue with that, for example, maybe he could seek some mitigation that might be between 2 and 4 years. But I imagine, based on what Richard said this morning in my reading, is that tampering allegedly with a substance itself is very, very hard to explain your way around. So I think it's fairly certain that Rioli faces time out of the game. By all accounts, he's a great contributor to the game and certainly an enigmatic player. But this, on its face value at this stage, based on the evidence, is the most serious of doping offences.
And you're right. That's one reading of this. And again, we don't know what's gone on, but it is possible that when the testers arrived to test for performance enhancers, Willy Rioli may have not realised he wasn't being tested for illicit drugs. And if that was the case, may have panicked and done something that he'll later regret. Now, that may not be the case either. Hey, Brownie, thank you for sorting this out in a special edition of The Hot Breakfast.
Thanks, Evan. I should emphasise this morning that we're obviously dealing with the preliminary facts. Even the AFL's investigation's just started, so we've done our best to provide the listeners with an update as to what's going on behind the scenes. Of course, everything's alleged, and it all to play out. There's QCs involved, Asada involved, and the Eagles. But that's what we know at this stage, and there's lots of facts to play out. No doubt, over the next few months, it's one of the biggest football stories of the year.
Have a great weekend. Enjoy the footy.